Carney's pledge to keep pace with NATO's contribution demands of 5% of member nation GDP, the Liberal government has announced the creation of its defense industrial strategy, along with a defense investment agency, to handle the billions upon billions to be devoted to the preparation and waging of wars, both current and forecast to come. Dr. Tamara Lawrence is a fellow with the Canadian Foreign Policy Institute and member of Canadian Voice of Women for Peace. She's also served on the advisory committee of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space, and too contributes her knowledge and talents to World Beyond War and the No to NATO Network. She recently led the Canadian Foreign Policy Institute webinar, Carney's Militarization of Canada. Tamara Lawrence in the first half. And incredibly, approaching the 32nd month of genocide in Palestine, there remain still in this country supporters of both the actions of Israel and its enablers in this 21st century Holocaust. And those supporters are not just insane religious fanatics praying for a second coming. They are two members of Canada's ruling elite, those men and women in gray suits wielding government power, business influence, and directing the boards of each of our professional institutions, who, despite their protestation of support for rule of law and decency, refuse to enforce existing statutes and protocols to rein in, at least, Canada's contribution to the slaughter. Eve Engler is an activist journalist and the author of countless articles and essays detailing Canada's foreign policy history. He's written a dozen books on the subject, including Stand on Guard for Whom? A People's History of the Canadian Military, House of Mirrors, Justin Trudeau's Foreign Policy, Left Right, Marching to the Beat of Imperial Canada, and his latest is Canada's Long Fight Against Democracy, co-written with Owen Schock. Eve's website, eveengler.com, is the necessary first stop for Canadians and foreigners alike wishing to understand better the cognitive dissonance laying between the proclaimed and demonstrable character of this Canada. His latest article there, PQ Leaders, Pro-Israel, Anti-Muslim Racism Must Be Challenged, reinforcing the point. Eve Engler and Demanding the Country We Pretend To in the second half. But first, Tamara Lawrence and Mark Carney's Militarization of Canada. Welcome back to the program, Tamara, and congratulations, too, on earning your doctorate from the Balsillie School at Wilfrid Laurier University.
Thank you very much, Chris, for having me back. And yes, I have finished my and defended my dissertation, and I will be crossing the stage at convocation on June 18th at Wilfrid Laurier University.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, Tamara, before we get into the creation of the Defense, Security and Resilience Bank, something that should strike fear into all sensible Canadians, you've initiated the parliamentary petition E7317. Tamara, what is that petition asking our government do?
So this is a parliamentary petition that is calling on the government of Canada to withdraw from NATO, remove Canadian troops from Latvia, reduce military spending, and conduct public consultations on a new foreign policy based on peace and international cooperation. And essentially, it is calling for Canada to get out of the US-led nuclear-armed military alliance that dictates our foreign policy and is driving up our military spending. It is a really important petition. It is a petition that is only a 30-day petition, so we need to get 500 Canadians to support this petition by May 20th. And it's being sponsored by my member of parliament, Bardish Chagger, a liberal. Does it mean she supports the petition? She doesn't. But regardless, because I'm her constituent, I have impressed upon her that this petition is really important. I need her to introduce it into the House. She introduced a similar one about 2 years ago, and this is another one. So I'm trying to keep up the momentum, keep up the pressure to call for Canada to get out of NATO. And I just want to make an important point here, Chris, because a lot of people don't think about this, that NATO is a military alliance of 32 Western, wealthy, predominantly white countries. The rest of the international community, right, 162 countries that are members of the United Nations are outside of NATO, are not involved in this military alliance, and they don't want to be. And, you know, they see NATO as really a threat and a danger to them. And it is. NATO has caused a lot of war and chaos to other countries. So some Canadians might see NATO as a security alliance that protects us, but it actually is not. It is an exclusive, offensive, US-led military alliance that has caused a lot of death and destruction around the world. And it is actually impeding international cooperations for the real security challenges that we're facing.
Well, and it's a perfect example of the dangers of abbreviation. People say NATO, but they don't say often the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And when you see all of a sudden NATO is far away from the North Atlantic, far away from its founding principles and doing things that are far away from what it professes, the reasons for doing them are.
That's right. NATO portrays itself as this defensive alliance that's protecting the Euro-Atlantic region, right? Exactly like you said. But it is actually globalizing, and it is moving into regions outside of its purview, and it has been doing that all along, ever since its founding in 1949. In 1950, NATO forces were in the Korean War from 1950 to 1953. That was really very devastating. NATO went into Yugoslavia in the mid-1990s and bombed and broke up that country. Yugoslavia was not any threat at all to NATO. And NATO, of course, bombed and destabilized Libya in 2011. NATO bombed and occupied Afghanistan from 2001 to 2021. And NATO has also occupied and been involved in the combat mission in Iraq from 2003 until today. Essentially, NATO's forces are still in Iraq. So NATO has operated out of area. But the reason why is because NATO is essentially a battering ram for Western corporations. And NATO is also a weapons market as well. You know, NATO creates the instability and the chaos that causes countries to want to rearm. And this is why Canada, for instance, is undergoing this massive militarization and why Canada is wanting to host this NATO war bank.
Let's get to that in a minute. But first, just to include that NATO's origin story was to counteract the evil Soviets and the Warsaw Pact, which actually came after NATO's formation. But the evil Soviets aren't there, and yet the evil Russians have replaced them. Is that, Tamara, why there is this a monomania, especially in Britain, against Russia? Is this like a raison d'etre to keep NATO rolling along and to at least provide a fig leaf of utility to that organization?
Well, let me just go back to the beginning part of your question. When you were talking about NATO's origin story, I just want to remind people that Canada was one of the 12 founding members of NATO in 1949. The 12 founding members, the United States, the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, Denmark, Belgium, etc., France, were colonial powers. They were colonial powers that came together that wanted to preserve as much as possible after the Second World War, their dominance in the world. And the Korean War that they were involved in from 1950 to 1953, it led the Soviet Union, you know, the great fear that the Soviet Union had, to form the Warsaw Pact in 1954. And yes, right from the beginning, NATO was created as a way to try to contain the Soviet Union, to prevent the Soviet Union to have any influence in Europe, because the Soviet Union, as a communist state, had a different economic model to the NATO countries that had a corporatist, capitalist, colonial economic structure that was really premised on extraction and exploitation. And so there were these two real economic models that were in contest, right, after the Second World War. And the U.S.-led NATO military alliance wants to be able to access continue to access markets and extract resources wherever it wants to. And after the end of the Cold War, when the Soviet Union was no longer a threat to an economic threat to the NATO countries, NATO continued to expand, and it continued to expand because the U.S. weapons manufacturers formed this U.S. committee to expand NATO, because the new members of NATO had to buy American weapon systems in order to be interoperable with the United States. So there were these two parallel drivers for expansion of NATO in the post-Cold War period. One, the weapons manufacturers wanted these new markets from these new member states, as well as Western capitalists wanted to be able to push forward in new markets. They wanted to be able to access, for instance, Yugoslavia. They wanted to break up the socialist state and plunder and take over those state assets in Yugoslavia. They wanted to plunder and take the oil and gas resources in Libya. And in Ukraine, it's the same. In Afghanistan, it's the same. In Iraq, it's the same. It's really about markets, it's about natural resources, and it's about maintaining Western domination.
Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking tonight with Dr. Tamara Lawrence. She is a fellow with the Canadian Foreign Policy Institute, member of Canadian Voice of Women for Peace, and many others. She's also served on the advisory committee of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space, contributes her knowledge and talents to World Beyond War and the No to NATO Network. We're speaking in and around today, Canada's announcement of a Defense Security and Resilience Bank. Well, capital is definitely at the key to this war making. What, Tamara, does the Defense Security and Resilience Bank have to do with Canada's Mark Carney's recently announced defense industrial strategy?
Here again, it's important to talk about what is driving this formation of the bank. And it really came out of the Atlantic Council. This is a NATO think tank based in Washington, D.C. And in 2002, there was a briefing that came out that encouraged the formation of such a bank, because the 32 countries of NATO are having trouble raising adequate public finances and private capital for this massive remilitarization that they want the NATO allies to undergo. So this bank is really a NATO bank, and it's, as some people have described it, as a war bank. And it is a war bank because the NATO countries are preparing for a global war. So Carney, of course, our prime minister, is one of the top bankers, in the world. I mean, that's his experience and expertise. Carney was a banker with Goldman Sachs. Then he became the governor of the Bank of Canada, then the governor of the Bank of England. And so Canada has played a critical role in trying to establish this bank and then host the bank. So there was a meeting in Montreal, hosted by, of course, Ottawa, with all of these NATO allies that are interested in the formation of this bank. And right now, Toronto and Vancouver are vying to be the locations to have this bank. And this bank will try to facilitate the ramping up of weapons production and arms exports. So this is what is behind the militarization plans of all of the NATO allies, and they need the money in order to be able to ramp up weapons production and arms exports. They need the money. So the bank, this Defense Security and Resilience Bank, will play a pivotal role in making that happen.
Well, it reminds me of the second war and a reversal of the biblical saying, you know, they're beating plowshares into spears. I've seen reports from Germany that VW is reorienting its production line to military purposes. The Americans announced something similar for the American big three auto producers to do the same, to reorient industrial production capacity in these NATO nations to directly ready for what looks to be a global conflagration with, I expect, China at least, and probably China, Russia, North Korea.
Actually, NATO has been very clear in their strategic concepts and in the statements made by both the former NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg and the current NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, that the four enemies that they have identified are Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. And these countries are sovereign countries that have control over their natural resources, you know, tight control over their economies and especially their energy resources and mineral resources. And they don't follow the diktats of Washington and of the and of Brussels. And this is the problem. And this is why NATO is remilitarizing, rearming, and putting the plans in place for a global war against these four countries. And in many ways, we see this already underway. And Venezuela is part of this because Venezuela was supplying gas, oil to China, and it's also mineral rich. And so this is one of the reasons why the United States wanted to take down Venezuela so that it couldn't be an energy supplier to China. And this is why, for instance, Canada and the other NATO countries are heavily arming Taiwan right now. Canada's arms exports to Taiwan have really increased in the past 5 years. So in many ways, the NATO countries are preparing for a global war. And this is why I have this petition calling for Canada to get out of NATO and to be a neutral country. Canada should be a bridge of diplomacy and peace building between the United States and Russia. We are Russia's Arctic neighbor. I mean, we should be peace building with this country. Canada should be helping to end the war in Ukraine, not continuing to arm Ukraine and prolong this NATO proxy war in Ukraine against Russia. That's what the Ukraine war is all about. So with the war in Ukraine, the attack on Venezuela, now the U.S. and Israeli attack on Iran, in some ways, the argument could be made that this global war is underway. And this is why, for instance, we're seeing the Carney government spending, I mean, it's $470 billion in the next 10 years to rearm, reinvest, and rebuild the Canadian armed forces. Canadians should step back and question, you know, why is this happening? And I mean, it's just so crazy. And the risk that it poses to people and the planet, it's going to make it impossible for us to stabilize the climate and meet our Paris Agreement. It's going to make it impossible for us to achieve the UN Sustainable Development Goals. It's a great, great risk. And so Canadians need to be clear-eyed about what's going on, really ask critical questions and do whatever they can to stop this now.
Now, Tamara, I was watching this morning your webinar, Carney's Militarization of Canada, and that's through the Canadian Foreign Policy Institute, something that you co-founded with my next guest, Eve Angler, and the new initiative, Capitalism Can't Be Fixed. But Tamara, before we talk about a little bit about that, can you remind people now, how do they sign the petition that you mentioned regarding getting Canada out of NATO? You need the 500 signatures. You've got a few weeks to do it. How do people do that?
So So you just have to do a Google search, parliamentary petition 7317, and it will come up, and then you can sign it. It's in French and English. We have also posted it on all of our social media. So if you look at the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom Canada and the Canadian Voice of Women for Peace, all of our social media handles are sharing this petition. So it's available on social media. The link is there. And as well, it's on our website. And you just need to do a Google search, Parliamentary Petition 7317, and please sign it.
Or use whatever search engine you like. Google may not have it. I noticed that you, your persona non grata at Twitter, as I see.
Yeah, I was kicked off of Twitter a year and a half ago, and I think this is shocking. And quite a few people have come up to me to say that they think it has to do with my position on the war in Ukraine, and also really trying to hold the Canadian government to account on its foreign policy. I think it's really disappointing. I need to set up a website and get back on social media, because I've got a lot of things to share now that I've finished my PhD, and I've been filing access to information and writing a number of articles. I just want to bring to your listeners' attention that I've got an article about exactly what we're talking today, and it's called On a Wartime Footing, and it's about Carney's remilitarization and the risk of corruption and global conflict, and it's been published by Rabble. I also have an article about Canada's militarization of the Arctic and how it is disregarding the Inuit calls for peace, and that's been published by Ricochet Media.
Well, actually, I've got the On a Wartime Footing, Carney's New Defense Initiatives Risk Corruption and Global Conflict, published April 17th, rabble.ca, right in front of me now as we speak. We're fast running out of time, Tamara, but I want to get to the way you begin the webinar, Carney's Militarization of Canada. You talk about the Prime Minister. He's got a book out called Values. The S is in parentheses. I'm not exactly sure what lawyerly message we're supposed to take from that. But I'm of the opinion that I mentioned in the introduction how Canada, there's a dissonance between what Canada says it is and what Canada actually does in the world. The Prime Minister, I would argue, is the same way. But you can always know a person by reading their investment portfolio. You do a rundown on Carney and his global elite bona fides. In the last couple of minutes we have, Tamara, do you want to repeat, just for Canadians who might think he's just like a mild-mannered, poopy school teacher technocrat, who Mark Carney is and how he got that way?
Mark Carney is a very wealthy banker that is heavily invested in arms manufacturers and in oil and gas companies. And it goes completely counter to the so-called values that he articulates in his book that he published 4 years ago, where he said the most important priorities for the world was action on climate change and sustainable development. He's done very little on both of those fronts. Instead, he's been very much working hand in glove with his global elite friends like Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, the largest investing and investment management firm in the world, working closely with them on ramping up oil and gas production and in ramping up weapons production. I would encourage Canadians to have a look at Mark Carney's filing for the conflict of interest and see the list of his investments to Exxon, Chevron, Lockheed Martin, Palantir, BlackRock, for instance. So Mark Carney, our Prime Minister, is launching policies that serve to to enrich the global elite, his banking friends, the weapons manufacturers, and the oil and gas companies. These are all of the interests that he's close to, and that he is, he's wanting to maintain those relations. And he's not operating in the best interests of Canadians. He's operating in the best interests of the global wealthy elite.
You quote in your article at rabble.ca, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, and he says it, military expenditure harms the planet because it is emissions intensive. Each dollar allocated to the military generates more than twice the greenhouse gas emissions of a dollar spent elsewhere. And it's also been proven many times that trying to stimulate economies through military spending is probably one of the least efficient and effective ways to re-energize a national economy. Tamara, thanks a lot for coming on today and talking about a little about all the vast amount of work you have on your plate.
Chris, thanks very much for having me. Just a reminder to listeners, to Canadians, that it is going to be really up to all of us to work together to stop this militarization, because it is so harmful to the climate, to the environment. It's going to move so much money into the military, and it's going to deprive us of the essential resources that we need for housing and healthcare and education and public transit. So we need all hands on deck to stop this militarization of Canada, to get Canada out of NATO, and to be a country that is genuinely committed to peace, nonviolence, and respecting international law.
And to building a better world for all, as Mark Carney subs his recent or not so recent book. Thanks again, Tamara. I want to take a brief break. I'll remind that notes and links to Tamara will be in the show notes. After the break, Eve Angler. Thanks again, Tamara, for coming on.
Thank you.
Bad and ugly news on Guerrilla Radio, a century of news every week.
That's the